In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God gives grace to us to be acted upon, always. Grace, for our purposes here, is the presence of God in our life. God is always merciful. But sometimes His grace is with us, sometimes it withdraws. When He gives us His grace, it is for us to do work. It is for us to act upon that grace that has been given to us. And we see that happening, or that lesson happening, in this Acts of the Apostles that is read for the Ascension. Now, there are three main things that one should understand in the Ascension. We should have basic biblical literacy. One is, of course, that He ascended in the flesh, which means we will also ascend in the flesh. And the other is that He promised that the Holy Spirit would come, and that that Holy Spirit would not come until He left them. So, of course, with His ascension comes now the period of time of waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. That's what the apostles were doing, and we actually are doing it also, in that we don't say the prayer, O Heavenly King. We haven't said it since Pascha. And then we will first say it on the eve of Pentecost. Then the third thing that we should know is that He will come again in the same way in which He ascended. The first time He came to earth, He came as a lowly son of a carpenter, a poor man, derided, blasphemed, killed, buried. He came as someone who was of no account in many people's eyes. He didn't come as a king. He is a king. He remained a king while He was on the earth. But He didn't use His prerogatives as king. But in the next time, when He comes, He will come with His full majesty, His full regal majesty, with all of the hosts, all of the church with Him, both the living and the dead, now with him in the air, and there will be the consummation of all things. And that is taught, at least partly, at the end of this reading, where they were looking steadfastly toward heaven as He went up. And behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Of course, those are angels. Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. And then something very important. It's not a throwaway phrase. It's not just something that is historical. Then they returned unto Jerusalem. They went back to where they were living. That's not a parenthetical comment. When God's grace comes to us, we then must work. They went back to Jerusalem to await the Holy Spirit. They had just received great grace. They would receive greater grace soon. But of course, to see their Lord rise up into the heavens must have given them such joy. Because although they might not have understood it fully, they probably didn't understand it fully, that this meant that their flesh would also rise up into the heavens. There was a sense of that this was something that was a great gift that God was giving to them. So there was great grace given to them, and they went back to Jerusalem. They went back to work. And that was 10 days of waiting, and then would come the Holy Spirit, and then would come the real work. Now, the angels said to them, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? It's an interesting way to put it. They basically were rebuked for just standing there looking up into heaven. Of course, just about anybody would. The Lord rises up on a cloud higher and higher and higher until He disappears. I think every single human being who saw that would gaze up into heaven. But what the angel was trying to tell them and us is that with great grace comes great responsibility. And we must then work with the grace that God gives us. Don't just stand there looking up into heaven. Go, work. Let the grace of God be active within you. God's grace is never static. It is never motionless. That's why the Holy Spirit is depicted as water, as a bubbling fountain. It's a rushing wind, as tongues of fire. Those are active things that are doing work, that are never at rest. None of those things is ever at rest. And neither should we be. I'm not talking about the rest of the body or being able to take some time and relax and have recuperation. That's not the rest that we should be abstaining from. We should never be resting from seeking after God and from seeking to follow Him with the grace that He has given us. So the really important lesson from this Acts of the Apostles, the best, by the way, account of the ascension, is do something with that ascension. You were born to be perfected in the flesh, to have all of your members integrated into God, to have everything complete and whole, lacking nothing. Do something with that grace that God has given you. It's not just for us to know about it. It's not for us to, as it were, gaze up into heaven. It's for us to work, to labor. And if we do that, then God's grace visits us again. And then, for a time, may withdraw. And then we must labor to integrate that grace that God has given into our lives. This happens with everyone. It is only discerned, though, by people who are thinking spiritual. Only spiritual people can discern spiritual things. This is happening to us. It especially happens to the perfect. It especially happens to the ascetic, to the hesychist. But I'll tell you, each one of us should be ascetical and should be some sort of hesychist. Not like they can do it on the holy mountain of Athos, but we must withdraw to our closet and we must beg God with tears and we must basically wrestle with God for His grace to come to us. And His grace will come. Just like it came to the apostles when they saw Him ascend, just like it came to the apostles and to us when the Holy Spirit came. And it comes in other ways too. It comes also, of course, through our baptism. Because of our baptism, we have to do something, not just stand gazing up into heaven. That's why, of course, my standard kind of talk after baptism is, this is the beginning. Now you must labor, and the rest. Of course it happens in the Eucharist. We partake of fire when we partake of the Eucharist, and we're not burned. Great grace. A great and stupendous miracle. More miraculous than if the dead were raised before our very eyes. And yet it is mundane to us. What are we doing with that Eucharist? Grace is visiting us. Don't just stand up there looking into heaven. Do something. Be active with the grace that God has given. Oh, there's so many other things. Of course, the priesthood is a great giving of grace. So I'm responsible every day for doing something. Every moment. It's rather frightening how unproductive my days are. And I'm not measuring them in terms of any kind of demographics or any kind of statistics. I'm talking about, is my soul on fire? And am I in some way transmitting that fire to others? And you must ask yourself the same question. God visits you with fire. Now the thing about fire is when you divide it, it is not lessened, right? And fire can beget more and more fire without being lessened itself. The act of creation gives us great grace. That is, many of us are creators here. Having children, we are creators. Scripture said, ye are gods. We are participating in creation and being like God. That is the grace of God visiting us.
Now we can't just rest on our laurels. Now we have to raise our children in the fear of God, with that grace of creation active within us and somehow transmitted to them. There's many, many more examples. Reading the scriptures, prayer, many occurrences that occur every day. I'll just tell you one that happened to me recently that I really, with God's help, want to make something of this. I want this to be not something where I just had a good experience, but where God's grace will be active within me, and I will somehow assimilate the grace that he gave me. And he gave me great grace this week. Went to camp, and there is the temple is right on the grounds, and the door is always open. And I was there all hours of the night, sometimes at 2 in the morning, sometimes at 4 in the morning to pray before they got up. It was really wonderful to be in the temple alone, and it was quiet and still. I could pray the midnight office or Compline, depending on the time, canon, pray the Jesus prayer. I felt God's grace acting within me in some way. But I must do something with that grace. I can't just say, that was wonderful what happened. It was. And there's this feeling inside me that I can't quite quantify or understand. There's something that I'm supposed to do. There's something I'm supposed to integrate. There's something in me that needs to change. And that was part of the process. I'm absolutely sure of it. So now I must do something. So must you. You have these experiences every day. And so you must not just stand and look into the heavens. No. With God's grace, use that grace to integrate it into your lives. Now the apostles, after God's grace was given, they went through this very dry period of awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know he was coming in 10 days. We know, but they didn't. And so, I suppose if they'd been smart enough, they kind of figured it out. The lawgiver, on the feast of the giving of the law, would send the Holy Spirit, which helps us to fulfill the law, the spiritual law, the Christian law. I mean, it all makes sense in hindsight, but during those 10 days, they didn't understand it. And during their ministry, they had times of terrible trials. St. Paul describes some of them for himself, but it happened to the other apostles too. Shipwrecks and getting beaten and being put in prison and being bitten by snakes and all kinds of things happen. Not only that, but also people that abandoned them. People that appeared to be for God, but actually had ulterior motives, such as Simon and others. So God's grace visited the apostles and with withdrawal, and they would have times of great difficulty. It's going to happen to us too. This is the way God works. He gives of himself, but then we must, with that grace that's been given to us, integrate it into ourselves. If we are motionless, then that grace will dissipate and it will not be effective for us. But if we work, and God knows what work we should do, and if you don't know it, God does. If you just try to work, God will lead you to the right work. If we work, then that grace will become more and more abundant in us, in God's timing. That's when I read this Acts of the Apostles part that talks about the ascension this year. I thought about that 2 weeks ago when I read it. It really, this is the major message. God's grace is given to you. We know all the things about what the ascension means and the whole coming of the Holy Spirit, but none of that helps you unless you are active with that grace. So, brothers and sisters, let us pray for each other, not in so many words, but certainly in intent, that the grace that God gives us would be active within us, that we would not, as it were, stand and gaze up into heaven motionless, but that the grace would be active and moving within us and change us. May it be so. May God help us to do this. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.